Hello, and welcome to another episode of Exiting the Cave Short Reads. Today we begin Book 4 of Boethius' Consolation of Philosophy. I'm conscious of the fact that I've been overloading the episodes lately, so I'm sure you'll be happy to hear that today's episode is mercifully extremely short. There isn't much of an analysis to offer this chapter, so I'll leave my remarks here in the intro rather than at the end this week. But before I do that, I want to make a few quick housekeeping announcements. Despite the new lockdown mentality, this fall is gearing up to be an extremely busy time for me. I'm starting a new job this month, and the onboarding is going to require some remedial training on my part. I'm beginning work on my final year BA dissertation at the University of London, and I have research to do for a class I'll be teaching in January through the Fintry Trust, comparing Plato and Aristotle on the topic of justice. All this means that I can no longer maintain the weekly pace I've been keeping up to now. So, beginning with this episode, the podcast will now be published on a fortnightly basis, with additional gaps around Christmas time. If that pace is still too intense, this may change to a monthly schedule, but I thought I'd give 2 weeks a try first. If you're eager to see exactly when episodes of Boethius will be published, I have added a schedule of publication dates to the overview page on my blog. The easiest way to find that is to go to my locals page, exitingthecave.locals.com. I will leave links to everything that I've mentioned here in the description of this podcast. And now for Book 4, Chapter 1. The fourth book of the Consolation deals specifically with a comparison of earthly justice to divine justice. Chapter 1 turns out to be really nothing more significant than a summary restatement of the problem, and Lady Philosophy giving us an outline of the essay she'll be delivering over the subsequent 4 chapters. I'll let Lady Philosophy do the talking, but before I go, I will mention 2 things that are significant about the transition to Book 4. First, it's Boethius' attempt at a response to Plato's dialogue Gorgias, which grapples intently with the problem of justice. In subsequent chapters, we'll be quoting from the dialogue quite a lot. You may want to check out Kevin Johnson's recording of the dialogue on LibriVox. It's pretty good. Second, take note that this is a step down from where we were at the end of Book 3. We've descended from contemplating the unity of the goodness of God, and we're now looking back at terrestrial reality and trying to compare it to the realm of perfection. Book 5 will constitute a further retreat into the lives of men on Earth. So it is consistent with the pyramidal structure of the work that we should be talking about the difference between terrestrial and divine justice at this point. And it nicely confirms the portentous nature of the allegory of Orpheus from the previous chapter. Now, on to the reading, and I'll see you next week. Softly and sweetly, Philosophy sang these verses to the end without losing aught of the dignity of her expression or the seriousness of her tones. Then, for as much as I was as yet unable to forget my deeply seated sorrow, just as she was about to say something further, I broke in and cried, O thou guide into the way of true light! All that thy voice hath uttered from the beginning even unto now has manifestly seemed to me at once divine, contemplated in itself, and by the force of thy arguments placed beyond the possibility of overthrow. Moreover, these truths have not been altogether unfamiliar to me heretofore, though, because of my indignation at my wrongs, they have for a time been forgotten. But lo, herein is the very chiefest cause of my grief, that while there exists a good ruler of the universe, it is possible that evil should be at all, still more that it should go unpunished. Surely thou must see how deservedly this of itself provokes astonishment. But a yet greater marvel follows. While wickedness reigns and flourishes, virtue not only lacks its reward, but is even thrust down and trampled under the feet of the wicked and suffers punishment in the place of crime. That this should happen under the rule of a God who knows all things and can do all things, but wills only the good, cannot be sufficiently wondered at, nor sufficiently lamented. Then she said, It would indeed be infinitely astounding, and of all monstrous things most horrible, if, as thou esteemest, in the well-ordered home of so great a householder, the base vessels should be held in honor, the precious left to neglect. But it is not so. For if we hold unshaken these conclusions which we lately reached, thou shalt learn that, by the will of him of whose realm we are speaking, the good are always strong, the bad always weak and impotent. That vices never go unpunished, nor virtues unrewarded. That good fortune ever befalls the good, and ill fortune the bad. And much more of the sort which shall hush thy murmurings and establish thee in the strong assurance of conviction. And since by my late instructions thou hast seen the form of happiness, hast learned, too, the seat where it is to be found. All due preliminaries being discharged, I will now show thee the road which will lead thee home. Wings also will I fasten to thy mind, wherewith thou mayst soar aloft, that so, all disturbing doubts removed, thou mayst return safe to thy country, under my guidance, in the path I will show thee, and by the means which I furnish. Wings are mine, above the pole far aloft I soar. Clothed with these, my nimble soul scorns earth's hated shore, cleaves the skies upon the wind, sees the clouds left far behind. Soon the glowing point she nears, where the heavens rotate, follows through the starry spheres Phoebus's course, or straight takes for comrade mid the stars, Saturn cold, or glittering Mars. Thus each circling orb explores through night's stole that peers, then, when all are numbered, soars far beyond the spheres, mounting heaven's supremest height to the very fount of light. There the sovereign of the world his calm sway maintains, as the globe is onward whirled, guides the chariot reins, and in splendor glittering, reigns the universal king. Hither, if thy wandering feet find at last a way, here thy long-lost home thou'lt greet, dear lost land thou'lt say. Though from thee I've wandered wide, hence I came, here will abide. Yet if ever thou art fain visitant to be of earth's gloomy night again, surely thou wilt see tyrants, whom the nations fear, dwell in hapless exile here.